Hello, I'm Todd Maxwell, part of the Bureau of Justice Assistance body-worn camera team, and today I'm speaking with Inspector Steve Goodyear as part of BJA's body-worn camera podcast series. Inspector Goodyear is the body-worn video operational lead for Hampshire Constabulary in the United Kingdom. He's been heavily involved with the use and deployment of body-worn video since 2008 and is now responsible for the deployment of 2,800 cameras across his policing agency. Working alongside the College of Policing, he has assisted in the creation of the UK's national guidance and standards for this new technology. He is a regular spokesperson for the effective use and deployment of body-worn video both nationally and internationally. Inspector Goodyear, thank you for speaking with me today. To start, can you explain the biggest challenges you have experienced devising a policy and implementing body-worn video devices?
Well, some of the biggest challenges that we've experienced really is gaining consistency across the 43 different policing constabularies or agencies that we have in the UK. So it's really getting everyone together and getting everyone coordinated, because we're all at different stages of our deployment. Some, like Hampshire, have been fairly mature in their deployment. And then we have other agencies that are just starting to ask the question. So the biggest challenge for me is really just trying to keep a consistent approach so we can maintain common standards and uniformity in our use and deployment across the whole of England and Wales.
Great, thanks. Can you discuss how the UK uses officers as expert witnesses?
Yeah, I believe the term in that context that I used at the expert panel was that when police officers give evidence at court, you know, they are the expert witness, and the use of body-worn video is supplementary to that of the officer. So the officer will always be regarded as the witness, and what they have seen and what they have heard is primary to that of body-worn video. So body-worn video just complements the standard forms of evidence gathering. Okay, it doesn't replace it. So very much what the officer says and has heard during an incident is forefront, and because we know now that the camera can quite often capture more wider angle of view. The volume could be heard from a police officer or from the camera, and there could be differences. So what the officer has said and heard is primary evidence for us.
We recently saw your training video on body-worn video best practices. Can you discuss the practice using the body-worn camera as a journal during stops to explain what officers are doing and thinking, along with using it to capture evidence?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so body-worn video in the UK was introduced to capture best evidence. So primarily, it was an evidence gathering tool. It wasn't a tool used for integrity or for police transparency. It was around evidence gathering, and I'm really passionate about encouraging officers to, when they activate their camera at the very earliest opportunity, is to try and narrate, is to try and set the scene, add context about what they're going to or what they've been told about what they're going to. So they go through a risk assessment. Every police officer goes through a mental risk assessment in their head about a situation they're about to go through. So we try to encourage officers to kind of verbalize that risk assessment so we can understand what they're thinking at a particular time. So the more they do it, the more it becomes habit. The more you're used to talking to yourself, the more it becomes more fluid. Some officers are more reluctant than others, but when an officer does it well, you can really do see when you play the video back exactly what the officer was thinking, what they were going to. And then any subsequent action that the officers take, you can place it in the context in which the officer was there themselves, not just looking at it just through the one lens of the camera, that one particular view that camera gives. You know, primarily, you know, if it's a one-on-one, the officer, you know, doesn't need to think about the camera as above and beyond their safety. I think where we get it more is where it's a personal issue, certainly within Hampshire, is if an officer, that the primary officer, is dealing with that individual, the second officer, they're the person that's moving the camera or positioning themselves in a position to capture and frame the best shot. So in answer to your question, no, I haven't seen it directly where officers are compromising their own safety to get the perfect shot. I think where I've seen it more is that you know, the second or third officers are utilizing the camera and becoming more of a director of the scene, and maybe utilizing themselves so they capture the scene, not primarily the officer that's closest and dealing with the subject.
What are the biggest differences you have seen between the way the UK and the US implement body-worn camera programs?
Well, I think fundamentally the biggest difference between the US and the UK is that we do have a central government that mandates law and legislation that all 43 police forces have to adhere to. So we don't get the state structure and the state laws that are individual to each different state. So our national guidance that I assisted the College of Policing, you know, that guidance is the bedrock for every 43 of the police forces, their operation practices. It's all based on that one set of standards. Whereas where I've been told, up to 17,000 policing agencies across your various states, and the competing or the different types of legislation that you have at a local level that affect your local policy. So to get consistency in use and deployment from one state to another is going to be very difficult. And clearly, the other difference around body-worn video between the two countries is the UK is not routinely armed, whereas the US, all police officers are armed. And when you add a weapon into the equation and the use of body-worn video, it brings up other questions, or brings up questions that in the UK have yet to be answered. So at the moment in the UK, we are not routinely giving our firearms officers, we have 7,000 across the UK, they are not routinely given a body-worn video. We're still holding back on that. We're doing more evaluation, and we're in talks with the relevant partners around how best to use it to understand the issues that may well come out of the use of a body-worn video in a firearms context.
What do you think will be the biggest issues surrounding body-worn camera use in the future?
Well, I think the future and very much here and now, you know, body-worn video is about giving an officer a camera, but for really to maximize the full potential of body-worn video, it's about joining up your criminal justice system. So what we're seeing in the UK is forces are deploying cameras, but we really are almost hitting a brick wall because we have no means really of sharing that media in a quick way to our criminal justice partners. Quite often we find we still have to burn onto disk into hard media and then share it. And all the inefficiencies with coming with burning onto a DVD and then transporting or using a postal system to get it from one agency to another. So the biggest challenge really is about the infrastructure that supports the technology like body-worn video. And what we're seeing is a rapid adoption of, you know, cloud-based technologies, sharing media across what we're used to in our homes and how we're communicating now in law enforcement. Certainly in the UK, we almost have two tiers. What police officers have available to them in their home context is very much different to what's available technology-wise at work. And we need to close that gap between the technologies and be able to share our media, our body-worn video or other types of digital media instantly across a network so criminal justice partners can actually benefit from it immediately.
What is the most important advice you would give to an agency that's considering implementing a body-worn camera program?
I suppose my simplest advice I can give is that don't try and reinvent the wheel. There's enough adoption of body-worn video in various different contexts around sure, the US and in the UK and other westernized countries. So we've learned a lot. There's a lot of learning being done and we've documented it. So seek advice and spend time actually doing the research. And borrow with pride. Look at other people's policy and procedure, and if it fits within your state laws, then adopt it. If it works, for them, don't try and do something different or feel you have to start from scratch. It was very much different when I started 2008. I had no one to go to, so it was very organic for us. But I feel that agencies now can come into it, you know, knowing a lot more and can learn the lessons that have already been learned.
If you were starting a body-worn camera program now, what would you do differently based on lessons learned in Hampshire?
Personally, I guess my reflection from my own agency is the full commitment and understanding about how much requirement from your IT department. You know, it's body-worn video is a technology and it's underpinned by your infrastructure. So the more understanding you can have of your infrastructure, knowing the capabilities of it and setting honest expectations about what you can deliver. I'm now many years into it. I have a greater understanding of the IT side of policing and what supports our ways of working, our processes. And most of it nowadays is all underpinned by some form of technology. So again, getting a greater understanding of our IT department, you know, their restrictions and infrastructure. And I keep coming back to the infrastructure piece. It's so fundamental to having a successful body-worn video program moving forward.
Great. Thank you for all your time today, Inspector Goodyear. We are grateful you could speak with us today to share your knowledge on this important topic. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with the adoption and use for community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all these resources, and especially the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit, have been designed as a national resource, your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Todd Maxwell of the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body-Worn Camera Team signing off. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today.